Open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. And we're going to start out by reading the passage of Scripture, then we'll have a word of prayer, and we will get into the message. And I have turned the heat down in case anybody is getting hot, because the sun's coming through and really cooking up a storm right now. At least it is up here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Follow along as I read. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Lord Jesus, as we start this new year with a message from your word, Lord, as we focus upon the necessity of our need to have you speak to our hearts, we ask that you would open up these words that are on paper and make them a message in our lives. Lord, that you would transform us by it. You'd help us to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Lord, that you'd help us to want to tell it on a mountain. Lord, we thank you that you have saved us and that you've given us this opportunity to listen, to take heed, and watch the Holy Spirit change us. Amen. So, this year the overall theme will be focused on the Word of God. Last year we focused on developing a mission-mindedness. We took on missionaries and continually focused on missions around the world. This year I want to focus on the importance of the Word of God in our lives. We will never be able to make any real progress in our spiritual growth till we learn to hunger and thirst for the Word of God and its application to our lives. We need to know the Word of God and treat it as if it's the final source and authority in everything we think, do, and say. The information it provides and the Holy Spirit applies are vital to your new life in Christ. Today, we have no end to the sources of information that are around us. We all know about the social apps, you know, Facebook and Twitter and TikTok and on and on and on and goes. And we have a new term that's been put into the dictionaries, and it's called Google. You can Google this and Google that. Go Google it. You know, we do it all the time. All the time we're seeking information. There's no end to the information out of there. Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun, but there's no end to the making of books. And so we get book after book and more information coming upon us. We have live television. We have podcasts. We have all these things that are trying to influence and shape our minds, and they're constantly bombarding us. You're probably, even right now, you're having little thoughts come through your mind about this commercial, this thing said, that thing said. You might even be thinking, yeah, this sounds like a message I heard back. You know, we have all this information stored in our brains. And it happens to all of us. And we need to take heed to what it's saying here. Of these things, put them in remembrance. We need to be put in remembrance of the necessity of the Word of God. We have all these other sources out there. There's no end to them. They're all around us. They don't stop night and day. It used to be, how many of you remember that you would turn on the TV at 10 o'clock and it'd just be this blank screen and this funny little noise?
Yep.
It doesn't stop now.
Nope.
And it doesn't stop with just one channel. We have, if you only have 60 channels, you're poor.
Yeah.
Right? I only have less than that.
Yeah, I canceled mine.
I'm trying to heed what's being said here, right? People take radical steps to put forward their opinion. They want to put forth their agenda. And in the church, we have a vast array of styles, cultures, denominations. But what is really profitable? What is really going to help believers unite in the name of Christ and start loving and caring for one another as Jesus requested? We got lots of different programs, a lot of different Bible apps. You can have them on your phone and everything. But what is really going to make a difference? It's not new software. It's not a new app. It's got to be something that we decide to focus on and put our hearts and intention in, with the things that we need to put in remembrance. And Paul goes on and he talks to Timothy. Now, in case you don't know about the relationship, Paul
we all know Paul, right? Paul's that great big evangelist, that great big writer that wrote most of the New Testament epistles, not all of them. And he had a, well, we call him a Timothy, okay? He had an underling. He had a, what's the word I'm looking for? Somebody help me out.
Associate.
A what? An apprentice that was learning from him. And so he's writing to Timothy and he says, okay, 2 Timothy, that means it's a second letter. That means he said an awful lot in the first six chapters of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now we're in 2 Timothy and we're in chapter 2 and he says, put them in remembrance of these things, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. So there's a lot of conversations that go on, right? A lot of words that get said, a lot of things that get talked about. But the question is what is really of profit? What is really going to cause the name of Christ to be lifted up? What is going to really bring change into my heart? Is it me going and attending another seminar? Is it me having a PowerPoint on the TV? Is it me having great, absolutely wonderful music? Is that really what's going to make it? Those may all be pieces of the puzzle, but those are not the things. Those are not what really is going to profit us, because what profits us? Having a new building? Having this church fixed so that it doesn't fall down? And marvel at the miracle that it didn't fall down? What is really going to profit your spiritual life? Is it going to be a new pastor? Maybe a little more handsome? Maybe a little more vibrant in his speaking? Maybe a little more organized? You know? So we talk about a lot of things, but are they really to profit? And that has to be the question. Because what the church it should be, and what the world is looking for, is they're looking for a symbol of the love of Christ. And if we are not allowing ourselves to be changed into that symbol of the love of Christ, then we're failing. In John chapter 13, verse 35, it reads as follows. John chapter 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, and that you have love one for another. Now, love is not just coming up and go, oh, Joe, it's so good to see you. Oh, it's so nice to meet you. Oh, that's not love. Love is my willingness to sacrifice my time, my energy, my money in order to help someone else. Those are the things that are a profit. We can get into sprucing up this church. We can get into expanding out the way we'd like to expand. We can get to sprucing everything up and making it look good. We can put up a new building. But would that really be to profit us as individuals growing in Christ? Would that really bring to profit reaching the lost? If we are not motivated in and of ourselves, we're never going to reach the lost, no matter what we do, no matter how big the building gets. And so there has to be this thing that we are going to pursue that will profit us. We need to become students of the Word and not students of the internet. Not students of teachers, preachers, or other Christian leaders. Ooh, did you hear me that? I said not me. Students of preachers? I don't want you to be a student of me. Do not at all. You'll be sorely disappointed. What about other these real big name preachers? You know, we can follow them. They're accurate. What about these Bible scholars? What about these people that are writing books? Let's follow them. We must learn to depend on a, listen to the words now, a living, and active, constant involvement with the Word of God for me, ourselves. We should be seeking the Word of God to change me. Everything else is without profit. Everything else isn't going to make a difference. Joining this church isn't going to make a difference if you're not willing to put the Word of God into you and allow it to change you. It's one thing to put it up here. It's a whole other thing to let it start affecting the way your fingers and your feet and your eyes and your ears and your all of that function. Instead of pursuing the flesh, we need to pursue the Word of God. And so that's what is of profit. Scriptures are not of private for private interpretation. It is not our understanding that gives us the insight, but the teaching, convicting, and comforting ministry of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. I'll read it for you. You can go there and make sure that I'm saying this correct, because now you're in the Word, and that's what's truly going to profit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. Knowing this first, before anything else, you got to know this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not of old time by the will of God, by the will of man, but the holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so here's what I want to say is, if we're going to really let the Word of God be in us, and if we're going to allow it to profit us, we're going to have to realize that God is going to give me an interpretation. It's not up to me to interpret what it means. It's up to me to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. This is how I want it applied to your life right now. The application of this message this morning to Karen is probably going to be different than the application to Bev this morning. The application and the timing may be totally different. This morning, Mildred may get smacked and say, "Wow, I was really deeply convicted." And Sharon will go, well, that was a nice message. Because the Holy Spirit, and I'm not smiting Sharon. I'm just saying that we need the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God, and we need Him to apply it to us in our situation, in His timing, to make it perfect. Otherwise, it's of no profit. I don't say stop going to church because you're not getting down to that. You come, because sooner or later it's going to be your day to get, or to get hugged.
Amen.
Right? Whatever God wants to do, because God works in mysterious ways. He works in many different ways. So it's not a private interpretation. We want the Word of God to be applicable to me. If we really want to grow closer to the Lord in 2023, if we want to avoid following the masses into the lies and deceit of the deceit that the devil is creating in our nation and in the world, then we will need to learn to depend on the Word of God and the Spirit of God alone. Don't go running over to Google and find more information. Look into the Word of God. Listen to the Spirit of God. And so, we go back to our passage. And it says there, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. We all love to talk. Some people love to talk more than others. But we all love to talk. We all have something to say. We may not be willing to say it, but we'd like to be able to say it, wouldn't we? And so here he's saying, he says, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. We need to be encouraging one another to not get involved in endless, useless discussion. We need to avoid the gossip. We need to avoid speculation. We need to be focused on the Word of God. Because what does it say there? That not to words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers. Because here's what happens. If we don't get focused on the Word and the Word changing us, and we get involved in all these peripheral conversations, then we're going to end up leading somebody else astray. We're going to become the stumbling block that causes them to fall into a sin or drift away from the Lord. So we need to avoid those things that are not profitable. Does that mean we can't laugh and have fun? No, because that is profitable, right? They say that a smile will increase your health, right? And so, and I'm not too sure if this is true or not, but they say that it takes more muscles to smile than it does to frown. And I would say that's probably true, because my natural face just kind of blur.
More frown than
I have no comment from you.
No, he's right, though. He's right. You're right.
Okay. If we do not remember, if we do not hold these truths to be vital, then we will end up creating strife and chaos. There will be no common ground for us to agree on. We will be confused and misled by the lies that abound in this world, and we'll end up dividing this church if we do not stay focused on the Word of God.
Amen.
Matthew 10:16 says, Behold, I send you forth as sheep. Been around my wife too much. Sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. What is that telling us? That's telling us that there is danger in this world. There is danger in this church. There is danger if we do not focus on those things that are profitable for our relationship with God. I mean, focus. Like, look. Be intent on. And so we need to focus on those things. We go to another passage in Genesis 3:1. Genesis 3:1. Those of you that are reading your Bible, you probably read this morning, right? If you're reading through the Bible, you'll do usually the first three chapters in Genesis or the first day. I did mine this morning. And so it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Imagine that. Here is this thing. They call it a serpent. I don't know what it looked like. Maybe it looked like an iguana. You know, how many of you have ever seen a Jackson chameleon? They're kind of a real ugly thing. They're kind of cute too. We had one as a pet for a while. Only pet that I think we've ever had. But it says that devil is more subtle. He has more ways of tricking you than anything else on this earth. That's how subtle he is. More subtle than any beast of the field, it says, that the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, God said, ye shall not eat every tree of the garden." And so he continues to put temptation in us. He's a tempter. He's trying to lead us into these vain and profane things that we should not have nothing to do with. And so we need to also realize that in 2 Corinthians 11:3 and verse 14, that we have the following warning about these vain and profane things that we should not be involved in. He says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds," listen to this now, "shall be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Think about it now. We're talking about these things that are, what are they doing? That are subverting hearers, these things that are of no profit. And they are subtle. Lost my thought. Let me go back and look at this. Corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see, instead of just believing that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again to give me eternal life, we start making it complicated. We start saying, "Well, you've got to believe this doctrine, and you've got to believe this doctrine, and you've got to believe this doctrine, and I believe in the scriptures, and I believe in doctrine. But what is the truth of the matter when it comes to salvation? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Call upon the name of the Lord. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to come in agreement with me about pre-tribulational rapture. And I believe in the pre-tribulational rapture. But they don't have to agree with that to be saved, do they? They don't have to. They can maybe get saved reading the NASB. A different translation of the Bible. We like the King James here. But that doesn't mean that keeps them from salvation. You see, we corrupt the simplicity of the gospel. We have all these things that are being made by all these theologians, and it's taking us away from the very thing that we need to be holding on to. The simplicity of the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Some people will say, "Well, I need to get baptized like Miriam's going to be, and that's going to be saved." She's saved already. That is not going to have a thing to do with her salvation. It's her identifying with what Christ has already done. Some people will say, "Well, you need to join this church. If you're not part of this church, you can't be saved." See how we corrupt the simplicity of the gospel? And that's what we need to be aware of. Those are vain and profane. Those are things that are not of profit. And so we need to avoid that type of theology. We need to avoid those type of situations lest we subvert the hearers. And then in 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." We need to realize that as we're out there, that the devil can come across as a really good thing. He knows how to spin a yarn. He knows how to tell a tale, so he sucks you right into it and right up to it. We have preachers that are out there saying Jesus, but they're leading them down a corrupt path, having taken away the simplicity. You see, the devil uses even people that claim the name of Christ. If he can get them to not profit, he's winning. And so we don't want to do that here. We want to figure out how to avoid that. The enemy is out to get us. How many, has anybody here read the Screwtape Letters? Has anybody heard of the book?
Yep.
Yes, okay. Yes. Well, the Screwtape Letters is a book written by C.S. Lewis. It does not replace the Bible. Okay? But it's a very interesting talk about how the devil works in undermining our faith and causing us to not be profitable in the things of the Lord. And I just bring it up because we're talking about the devil and how easily he leads us astray and how many different ways he has to do it. And so read it if you get a chance. If the words are not from God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Messenger of God, then inevitably they will be of no profit. Not necessarily sinful, not necessarily bad or evil, but not profiting the kingdom of God. They may even be truthful, but if they're not profiting, if they're not advancing the kingdom of God, then we need to be avoiding them. We need to focus on one thing. We must rightly divide the word of truth so that we can be profitable in expanding the kingdom of God while we yet abide on the earth. Otherwise, we will subvert hearers. The word subvert means to turn back. If we do not use the word of God, then those we speak to about our opinions, no matter how sincere we may, will simply turn back to the worldly ways rather than the ways of the world. Word. Worldly word. And here's the point. If we're going to be effective, if we're going to use profitable words, we need to use the Word of God. Because the Word of God is quick. That means it moves fast. It's powerful. That means it has the way to make an impact. It's quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the bone and the marrow, of the soul and the spirit, for it is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the man. You see, the Word of God is the only thing. The Word of God is the only thing that can penetrate the mirage that you and I build about who we are. It's the only thing that can get down into the deepest, darkest recesses of our hearts and open it up so God can begin to do surgery on it. And if we think my opinion or some great theologian's opinion or the President of the United States' opinion or some commentator on Fox News or some commentator on MSNBC, we're going to get led astray. We're going to end up with a useless tool. The only tool that is effective is the Word of God. And so why go chasing after all this other stuff? We need to be focused on the Word of God. Study, it says in verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, we think of study, and what do? You think about, well, I must be like pastor. You know, he gets into his study, and he gets out his books, and he gets out his paper, and he's scribbling and studying, like he's going to take an exam the next day. Right? But that's not what the word is. The word does not deal with just focused attention on one subject. It's a mental process of focusing and learning about one subject. The word spodazzo, which is the word that's translated a study here, means to push on with something quickly, assiduously, zealously. So let's go back and let's read it. Have zeal to show yourself approved unto God. I'm sorry, but I'm going to be bluntly honest with you. I think that a lot of us have put our growth in Christ as second. We have all our schedules. We have our calendars that we need to keep. We have our activities that we need to be involved in. But how focused, how zealous are we to make sure that we get into the Word of God?
Amen.
How zealous are we to avoid all those opinions that the world has to give us and focus on the Word of God? Study, it says, have zeal to show yourself approved unto God. Instead, we're all busy trying to make ourselves approved onto our spouse, onto our kids, onto our co-workers, onto our community, rather than being approved to God. And it says that we need to be zealous about pursuing that item, that relationship. And it's hard. It's hard for me. And I have the responsibility of you folks on my shoulder to move me in that direction, but it's still hard. The world's out there talking in both sides of my head. It's over there stimulating my eyes with all kinds of stuff. And I'm supposed to be zealously pursuing approval by God. How am I going to find out if I'm approved by God? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. This thought came into my mind, and I don't even know if it deals with the Lord. But you know what? People are probably, they come in and they say, wow, this church could really, you know, maybe they could have some music people up here, or maybe they could paint the walls. I mean, look at all the, how come they haven't painted the walls? What's with that, you know? I appreciate the fact that they're working on it, but look at all this stuff inside that could be getting done. How come they're not doing that? And I'm telling you right now, if you really want to know the reason why, there's no workmen. There's nobody that wants to do that. Because we don't have the zeal. We've been lulled to sleep by the world. Back and forth. Here, pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. And before you know it, we're all sleeping. We've lost our zeal. But we're to study. We're to have to be zealous to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That means we need to work. And that means that what we're involved in, we should not be ashamed of if we were to go before the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be honest with you. Most of you know that my wife and I are diligently involved in remodeling our house. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, I wrestle and say, I like doing the work. I like the results of the work. But is it really profitable for the kingdom of God? Is this where I should be putting my zeal, my attention? I'm wrestling with it. But that's a good thing. That means that God's got me thinking about why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it zealous? Is it to be approved? Is it work that God will be excited about? There's only one thing that can affect that change. And that's the Word of God.
Amen.
And the only reason that we'll ever... I just listen to the scriptures themselves. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16. Yes, please turn there. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. I promise I will not launch into a sermon on this passage also. But it says, all scripture, 66 books of the Bible, printed and sitting in front of you probably in multiple translations and in multiple places in your household. All scripture is given by the very breath of God. I'm speaking, but you can't hear because there's no breath behind it. This book is speaking, but are you allowing God's breath to bring it to your ears? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed it. God has a purpose in it. This is what God wants to say. And why does he want to do that? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. What were we just talking about over in 2 Timothy? Things that are of no profit. Here it says this is of profit. Profitable unto man. Right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's just a system of teaching. It's something that should be taught. That's why we have church, to help teach each other. Not me teach you, us teach each other. God may be putting me out there to stimulate, but you, if we're not working together, if each one of you is hearing a message today and going home and not sharing it with somebody else, we have failed. We need to be interacting. I would love to have it after every service and we have a time of fellowship, and all the fellowship is, here's what I got out of the word today. Because I guarantee you we'd have 16 different versions of what you got out of the word today. You know, because we want to apply it to our life, because it's the breath of God trying to motivate us, right? So it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Joe, I told you not to do that. That type of reproof. You know what? Nothing wrong with God saying, Karen, you shouldn't have done that. It's not that he's mean. He's trying to keep you from getting hurt. So it's profitable for reproof and for correction. Karen, because you did that, here's what you, I know what your need is. I know why you went there and why you did that. She's not going to come again. But I know how we can fix that. Let me tell you about how we can fix that. And here's the problem we have. God comes up and he corrects us. And we're going, woo! And we go through our little hissy fit and we complain and cry. And then God, over time, starts saying, here's what you did wrong. Here's how you can fix it. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction. And instruction in righteousness. Now that you've changed, here's how you can stay on that path. All scripture is by the breath of God. And it's there for reproof. Now, we're going to talk about profitability. Take a look at that final verse in there. Verse 17. I don't want anybody feeling left out here, right? So I'm going to take the word man out, because it really means mankind. And I'm going to say that the person of God maybe, what's that next word? Perfect! In God's eyes. How are we going to get there? Through the Word of God. That the man of God might be perfect and thoroughly furnished onto every good work. Now, a lot of you know that I do woodworking. And there are a lot of tools I would like to have so that my shop would be thoroughly furnished, so I could truly plane boards correctly, so I could glue them up, because I have lots of clamps, so that I can glue them up, and so I can make some nice stuff, right? Well, God is saying here that with my breath, I will give you the instructions that you need that will be profitable in your life, and it will help you to be thoroughly furnished onto every good work. Works that count for the kingdom of God. And so that takes us back to our home verse that we started out with in verses 14. We need to study the Word. The Word is much broader than just to sit down and study, complete a course or analysis of a book or books of the Bible. It is to pursue the will of God. Learning the will of God through exposure to the Word, not the world. Listening for the voice of God in the inner man to give us explanation and application. Rightly dividing is one word in the Greek. It means to make a path and open an avenue. So we want to open the avenue to our relationship with God. We want to open the avenue for profitability in the kingdom of God. We need to be fervently pursuing the understanding of God's word, looking to it for help and to help us find application. Let's go to the last four verses and we can close up. So God says to do this. But then he goes, but shun profane and vain babblings. Profane talks about the fact that as we study and pursue the truth in our lives, it helps us not to stand with or near those things that cannot and should not be spoken of in the presence of the righteous God. So profane is things that you would never want to speak to in God, before God. So we're to shun profane. And vain. Those are things that are empty. They're not going to profit the kingdom of God at all. You know, does it really matter to the kingdom of God if you get that post on Facebook done right now? Does it really matter to the kingdom of God that you answer every text that's sent to you? Does it really make a difference to the kingdom of God that you attend all these different meetings? What is important? I believe that we should be gathering together, but we are to shun vain and profane babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. If we do not, what it says, instead of making us, preparing us, and keeping us thoroughly furnished on every good work, it ends up taking us into more ungodliness. How many of you want to be ungodly? Then you need to shun profane and vain babblings. Emptiness. Make sure that what you're doing is zealously pursuing the will of God. And it goes on and says, their word does eat like a canker. No reason we can't say cancer, except that that hits kind of close to home, doesn't it? Because we all know what cancer does. It's hideous. But here it says that, you know, if we don't shun profane and vain babblings, that they will be like a cancer in us. That'll slowly eat us up from the inside out. And then he uses two examples, Hymenaeus and Philetus. And what was their problem? These people got involved in a conversation that the resurrection is past already. Huh? Well, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. That's the only resurrection that we're going to get. What does it say after that? Saying the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. So they got into this discussion about what is the real value of the resurrection, you know, and what does that mean to us? And can we be resurrected? We're in a physical body. How could this change happen? They didn't have 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. So there were all these discussions Philetus and Hymenaeus were discussing about, and what it was doing, it was leading people astray. And how many times have you and I got into a Bible study and we got down to talking about how many angels can fit on the end of a pin? Who cares? But we can spend hours on it. I can remember being in a Bible study and we spent two Bible studies talking about somebody in the Bible called, Melchizedek. Now, the Bible talks about Melchizedek. Melchizedek has an importance. But to spend two Bible studies about who was Melchizedek and what his significance was, it led us way off the track. And we got involved in vain and profane babblings. And so we need to take this verse to heart. We need to go back and read it through in its entirety one more time. And see and ask yourself, Lord, what do you want me to do with this passage of Scripture? Of these things, I am putting you in remembrance of. I'm charging you before the Lord that you strive not about words to no profit, and that subvert the hearers. I need you to be zealous to show yourself approved to God, working so that you won't be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That you need to shun profane and vain babblings, for all they're going to cause you is to drift into ungodliness. And their word will become like a cancer in you, like has occurred in so many other people in times past. And you will overthrow the faith of some. We need to be rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you ready to make 2023 your focus? And to start peeling off those vain babblings? I know, we're creatures of habit. A lot of what we do is a habit. But we can start by making a commitment this morning. I am going to focus on the Word of God. I'm going to be zealous about letting the Word of God become profitable in my life, helping me to advance the kingdom of God. Oh Lord Jesus, help me as only you can. That has to be our prayer. And so let's stand and sing together and let's make that commitment for 2023. Let's make that commitment in our heart. It shouldn't be for 2023. This is for the rest of your life.
Amen.
So let's say, turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's the only way that we'll really begin to see the Word of God work. If you have a decision you need to make, if you want to make a public decision, if you want to make it in your seat, whatever you do not let this be of no profit. Make a decision.